We are back on the Bengals Beat podcast. Lindsey Patterson, Tyler Dragon, Charlie Goldsmith. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Training camp is right around the corner. It comes up this month. It doesn't feel like training camp is, real close by now. But I mean, in my opinion, training camp is the official start of the NFL season, and it is almost here. So I know a lot of football fans and a lot of sports fans, they're eager and ready to get the NFL season kicked off and going.
And us, I don't know. I'm looking forward to football. I don't know about you, Lindsay, but I'm also looking forward to football this season.
There is plenty to talk about with the Cincinnati Bengals right now, but I will say right now, a little disclaimer, it's kind of a dead period, the second week of July. We're about a little less than 3 weeks away from training camp officially starting in Cincinnati. All the dates and times that will be coming out soon, and we'll have more information on that. But I wanted to do something just a little bit different because it's something I'm really terrible at on social media, and it's when people ask questions, they have a little bit of a Q&A, and I've also wanted to input this into some of the podcast episodes. We're going to strictly make this about a Q&A because we got about 70 to 75 different questions about the Bengals going into training camp, the 2021 season. And we're going to start with, of course, the one and only Joe Burrow right now. Ty says, will Joe Burrow physically be ready for week one? We've talked about Joe Burrow plenty of times on this episode. As of a couple weeks ago, his knee was around 85%. He's hoping it's 100%. We'll know more in the coming weeks of how he's feeling physically and mentally. But where do you guys stand on that? Because I still kind of feel he's going to be around that range, but we will know more in July and August.
Well, that is a great question by Ty, and I do like his name, by the way. So great name, Ty. But to answer his question, it's impossible to have a definitive answer right now if Joe Burrow will physically be ready by week one. But what I can say is that is his goal. He has stated that his goal is to be 100% by week one, and that's the Bengals' goal, is to have him out there in full go by week one. And I've said in numerous podcasts that the prognosis for his type of injury is 9 to 12 months. And when week one rolls around, he'll be a little bit over 10 months removed from the operating table and his recovery process. So that's, smack dab in the recovery timeline. And it's, right in the middle right there. So I do expect him to be out there full go week one. And that's always been his goal. And how he looked during OTAs and mini camp, it did look like he is currently on pace to play in that opener. Yes, they were extremely cautious with him. They made sure that there were no footballs or no players, no running backs around him when he was dropping back. They didn't want his legs to get tangled up or him to re-injure his surgically repaired knee. But overall, he did look good, and it still looked like he has some recovering to do, and he was wearing a brace protecting his knee. But overall, I do think that he looked impressive given the circumstances, and he did look like he was on track to eventually play when the season rolls around. But there are a few more hurdles for him to clear before week one rolls around against the Minnesota Vikings at Paul Brown Stadium. However, all indications point that he will be on the field in the season opener when the Bengals face the Minnesota Vikings.
So I'm imagining what I'm going to be looking for September 12th, the day the Bengals open the season against the Vikings. From a Joe Burrow perspective, we have seen Joe Burrow do everything he can to get back for week one, and in a lot of ways, honestly, be ahead of schedule because of how he's attacked the rehab process. Joe Burrow has done his part. And so, honestly, kind of assuming he is going to be on the field for week one, my attention turns to where does the coaching staff go to put him in the best situation to be successful? Joe Burrow might be 85%, he might be 90%, he might be 95%, he might be 100%. So honestly, the difference though is since Joe Burrow is, as we've seen and as we've said, doing everything he can, everything in his power to be the best quarterback he can be on September 12th. How is he put in the best situation to do so with a skill set that, again, is either 100% or maybe even a little limited? How does the game plan look? How many training wheels are on in terms of how mobile is Joe Burrow able to be, and how much is his mobility a part of the game plan? And how does the coaching staff adapt to Joe Burrow in his first game post-injury?
All right, I'm going to stay with Burrow. Ryan follows up with, are the Bengals going to be careful with Burrow? Other than the addition of offensive tackle, which they may or may not bring in during training camp, what other ways are the Bengals going to help protect Joe Burrow going into the 2021 season?
Well, other than offensive linemen, that's a good question too by Ryan. And as I said in the previous answer, they're going to be extremely cautious with Burrow, even in training camp, similarly to what they were in OTAs and mandatory minicamp. Now, I do expect the Bengals to ramp up his workload and his activity. He will probably be handing off to running backs, and there might be some more traffic around his legs, which that's going to happen during the season. So you want to get him comfortable with a lot of moving parts around him and, you know, high speed activity around him when he is performing. So I do expect them to kind of, you know, knock off the training wheels, for lack of a better words, when training camp rolls around. But they're going to see how he handles the ramped up activity every single day. They're going to be monitoring him very closely. They don't want to rush him back. I mean, yes, Bengals fans and the Bengals, everybody wants to see Joe Burrow on the field, but you have to look at the long game here. The Bengals want Burrow to be their starting quarterback for 10 plus seasons. So in order for that to happen, you want to make sure that he is fully healthy and fully prepared, and you don't want him to have a setback, and that could affect him long term. So the Bengals invested a lot in him. They're going to make sure that they protect him and be extremely, extremely cautious with him during training camp and when he plays in the regular season. They do not want him to re-injure that left knee and have a career-threatening injury. Let's knock on wood and hope that does not happen to him. The offensive line, the Bengals did tinker with it. We already know how they added Riley Reiff, and they drafted a couple offensive linemen, including Jackson Carman in the second round. Jackson Carman could start. I know that's a question coming up later. And then the addition of Frank Pollock, that cannot be understated as well. The offensive line coach, the Bengals are really high on him, and they think that his addition to the coaching staff and coaching up the offensive line will be very beneficial for the entire O-line and the entire Bengals offense, including Joe Burrow.
The question touched on additions or kind of external moves the Bengals could make now with Joe Burrow in mind. Well, you know, my reaction to that kind of is Joe Burrow has been hurt the whole offseason, and everything that we've seen the Bengals do, from adding an offensive lineman in Riley Reiff from free agency, to choosing a skill position player with the 5th overall pick in Jamar Chase, to cutting Giovanni Bernard, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That was all a part of, you could say, a plan that was executed with the knowledge that Joe Burrow would be coming back from this injury. It's not like any surprise has happened with Burrow over the offseason. When the front office came up with the idea of what it wanted to do heading into the 2021 season, Joe Burrow's status was one of the more certain factors that they had in mind. So while there still are significant weaknesses, I think, at, say, backup offensive tackle, and while you would like a little maybe stronger competition at offensive guard, and while either Jackson Carman or, say, Xavier Suofilo could be more of a question mark at that second guard spot, the Bengals prioritize skill position players and prioritized a few specific linemen. And I guess that was their way of creating a system to be most comfortable with Joe Burrow in their eyes in week one.
This next Twitter follow, I'm going to use his at name. He didn't have a first or last name on it, so I'm saying his Twitter at name. Hude Spartan says, what's the status of the offensive line room? Because we're going to bounce a little bit off that. You know, with Frank Pollock, I still feel like he's one of their biggest additions this offseason, what they were able to do and what he's going to be able to do with guys like Jonah Williams. Obviously, Riley Reiff to be determined if that's going to be more than a one-year situation at right tackle. Jackson Carman working with these guys, spending a little extra time working on the techniques. My mind, when I look at the offensive line, it really hasn't changed. I think your day one starters are going to be Jackson Carman, Quentin Spain when it comes to the guard position. Obviously, Riley Reiff at right tackle, Jonah Williams left tackle. I'm still not sold on Trey Hawkins being ready for week one, but he's been really impressive with his rehab just 6-7 months off tearing the ACL. I won't be surprised if he's out there week one, but at the moment, I don't have him as my starter. If healthy, obviously he's a go. I still see this team bringing in extra bodies during training camp. And Frank Pollock in this offensive line unit, they're going to put the best five guys out there. But when you guys look at it as a whole, what do you feel the status is right now with the loss of, when you think about depth in Hakeem Adeniji?
Well, when all the dust settles, I believe the Bengals hope that their starting offensive line features what you just said, Lindsay. Jonah Williams starting at left tackle, left guard being Quentin Spain. Trey Hopkins, if healthy, at center. Right guard, the Bengals hope that Jackson Carman shows the ability to start and beat out veteran linemen like Xavier Suofilo for that starting right guard position. And then right tackle, Riley Reiff, who the Bengals brought in to start at right tackle. Behind them is going to be a very competitive position battles, because not only are they competing to be number two on the depth chart, but they're competing for jobs. And some of these offensive linemen may not even make the team. You know, you have tackles like Fred Johnson, who could end up being a number two swing tackle for the Bengals. Deontay Smith, who the Bengals drafted in this year's draft. You got Isaiah Prince, who missed all of last season, opting out because of COVID concerns. And then at guard, you have Michael Jordan, who has starting experience. And as I mentioned, Xavier Suofilo, who the Bengals signed last year to a multi-year contract and who they expected to start, but he dealt with some injuries last year that kept him out of the lineup for several games. And then, of course, Billy Price, who could – start week one at center if Trey Hopkins is not ready to go. So the Bengals have a lot of question marks behind their presumed starters on the offensive line. But when all the dust settles and everybody is healthy, that offensive line that the Bengals hope to be out there protecting Joe Burrow, pass blocking and run blocking for Joe Mixon, the running back, are going to be Jonah Williams, Quentin Spain, Trey Hopkins, Jackson Carman, and Riley Reiff on the right side. So that's what the Bengals hope. Is all dependent on going to be dependent on health, of course, and just their ability to, especially Jackson Carman, his ability to get comfortable playing guard and his ability to be able to beat out veterans who have been there and done that before. So this offensive line, especially the guard position, is going to be an intriguing position to watch come training camp.
I have two big concerns on the entire Bengals roster, and one is the Bengals overall plan on the interior defensive line and how they rush the passer from that spot. And then the number two concern on the entire Bengals roster for me is backup offensive tackle. You could argue that the Bengals are in a worse position where they stand right now with backup offensive tackle than they were entering last season. Now the Bengals as a whole have a stronger offensive line, but the Bengals needed five offensive tackles to get through the year last year. It's not as deep or as interesting of a group in 2021. The most important player in that group, the only one among the backup offensive tackles who you feel pretty confident will make the team, is Deontay Smith. And he was someone who was labeled as a developmental project when the Bengals drafted him, and someone who played in one game last season, kind of a result of having a really truncated, really short preseason where he wasn't able to get all the work done he needed to. So now he's in a position competing with Fred Johnson, a tackle who has been flawed during his Bengals career, but you know, his size and some of the athleticism he has kind of has shown on the practice field with some of the reasons that the Bengals have claimed him from Pittsburgh and have stuck with him. And then there's Isaiah Prince, who just frankly, I haven't seen. So those three tackles in some order will be 3, 4, and 5. They probably won't all make the team, but one of them almost certainly will play, and it will be a player certainly with a question mark.
We'll stay with offense right now. Jim asked, will Joe Mixon get over 1,000 yards this season? And when I think about Joe Mixon, I think about this offense, he's one of the most important players on it, and one that I feel like we still don't talk enough as a whole, because there's a lot of focus on the wide receiver room, and as there should be. But when you have all those targets, for me, Joe Mixon, as long as he's healthy, he's going to be one of the most valuable players on this offense. Not much of a hot take there, obviously he is, but a huge impact if he stays healthy this whole entire season.
Yeah, I agree. You can make a strong argument that Joe Mixon is the most talented offensive player on the Bengals team. And that includes Joe Burrow. He was coming off back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons before, of course, a foot injury limited him to 6 games last year. I do think that he can get back to that 1,000-yard mark if the Bengals give him the football, and that's, you know, 20 carries or more a game. One thing that's in his favor is he rushed for a career-high 1,168 yards in 2018 and 8 touchdowns when Frank Pollock was the team's O-line coach that season. So now Frank Pollock is back on the sidelines, and I do think that that will really benefit Joe Mixon going forward because he likes Pollock's coaching style. Not only is Frank Pollock going to be the offensive line coach, but he's also the run game coordinator. So he's going to bring that zone blocking scheme that we have written a lot about this offseason. And Joe Mixon likes that style of running. And I do think that if the Bengals give him the ball the way he wants it, a lot of those outside runs and runs that's their outside the guards and, you know, in that C gap, and outside the tackle runs too. Joe Mixon, if he gets some of those carries the way he likes it, Joe Mixon can have another 1,000-yard season. And that's what he wants, because he believes that he is one of the best running backs in the National Football League. And that 1,000 yards is kind of like a benchmark for the upper echelon running backs of the National Football League.
You know, I mean this with respect completely for Joe Mixon, but it's not going to be up to Joe Mixon about whether he gets the ball and about whether he gets 1,000 yards. And it's not even going to be a product of how good of a season and how productive of a season Joe Mixon has. The only thing that's going to factor how many carries and how many yards Joe Mixon has this season is how much the Bengals win. The Browns offense comes to mind just when I think of Joe Mixon, because they really are able to use their running backs in a different way when the team has the lead. And that's a way the Bengals only got to use Joe Mixon once last season. And in that game against Jacksonville, he was awesome. He was like 150 yards or maybe even something more than that. Impressive runs. He had that one breakaway run from around the 30. But again, the Bengals, when they hired Zach Taylor and then when they drafted Joe Burrow, they prioritize passing the football. And especially when they're trailing, as we saw when the Bengals played the Browns in week 2, there just isn't a ton of room in the offense for explosive running plays. There will be room for that if the Bengals are up. So again, whether or not Joe Mixon has a statistically impressive season will be up to how the Bengals win. Joe Mixon can still have a good season. That you don't use numbers like attempts per game and total yards to represent that, I think. But for those two statistics, which do, I guess, catch more attention, it's just going to be up to how good, honestly, the Bengals' defense is and how good the Bengals are at getting out in front of games.
We'll flip to the defensive side right now, the linebacker unit. One of the classes last year, rookie class, who will have guys that have to step up. You look at guys like Logan Wilson, Keem Davis-Gaither. DP asks, what's the growth that we have seen in the linebacker unit just over the past year going into the season?
Well, over the past year, we've seen Jermaine Pratt kind of grow into the leader in the linebacker room. He is going to assume that role again this year, especially with Josh Bynes no longer on the team. He's obviously slated to start alongside of Logan Wilson, who is going to be very interesting to watch this year to see how he grows into that starting role. The Bengals are really high on Logan Wilson. They were when they drafted him. He performed well in limited opportunities last year in the middle. So I am going to that is a player that all Bengals fans should watch and see if he really blossoms into his new promotion, which is going to be starting on the inside along with Jermaine Pratt. I can tell you that the Bengals are also high on his draft mate, second-year linebacker, Akeem Davis-Gaither. I expect him to play when the Bengals operate out of a 4-3 defensive alignment. A lot of times when they play the Ravens, they go with a 4-3 look, and that's when you'll see Akeem Davis-Gaither start. But it's going to be really important for the Bengals' young linebackers to develop and for them to produce this season, because there's not really a wily veteran in the linebacker room anymore. I mean, you can say Jermaine Pratt's a veteran, but he's what, 3 years into the league now. So he's the leader of the linebacker room. I think he's more than capable. He's an athletic linebacker, can cover ground well. He does need to get better in his ability in coverage, and his ability to be able to cover running backs and tight ends in the past. But I do think that he's cognizant of that, and he's working on it. And all the other linebackers up under him, you know, it's going to be important for them to develop into their role, because the Bengals are expecting a lot out of their young linebackers, and particularly Logan Wilson, who is going to be thrown to the wolves this season and going to be in the middle starting for the first time in his career.
2 points about the linebackers. First, it's fun to track the journey of the Bengals and investing in the linebacker position, how in the 2019 draft and then in 2020 free agency, and then in the second round of the 2020 draft, linebacker, among people like us, among people analyzing the Bengals, was one of the most likely positions we thought the Bengals could have invested in and could have added someone at. It turns out they stuck with, obviously, Akeem Davis-Gaither and Logan Wilson, their 2020 third and fourth round picks. And now entering 2021, those guys and Jermaine Pratt are the guys. And now, you know, this is important seasons for all of them, clearly. But I do think it's important to note, secondly, that the Bengals' best linebacker is Von Bell. Von Bell wore the headset for a lot of the 2020 season. Von Bell doesn't excel in coverage against tight ends, but he really does excel making tackles in the box, finding run gaps, making explosive plays in the middle of the field, and covering a lot of that middle territory while Jesse Bates really roves behind him. So, you know, the Bengals mostly do have two linebackers on the field, so they can have a nickel corner on the field, but that kind of does free up Von Bell to play more inside, to play more closer to the line of scrimmage. And he is one of the Bengals' best tacklers, and I expect to see more of that in 2021.
We'll get to one more again over on social media, UNQ Sports, over on the Instagram, UNQ Bengals. Thank you so much for the questions. There was 70 to 75 that we're just going to answer over the next few weeks, in addition to a longer podcast, but we'll go ahead and get to Jeff. He said, what would the team see as success through the first five games? When I look at the schedule, and we've talked about it before, just the first four games, I said in those four games, they would have to go 2-2. They don't want to go anything less than that. But the fifth game is a big question mark right now, because is Aaron Rodgers the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers in this season? And if he's not, then I'd say you would have to go 3-2. If Aaron Rodgers is on the Packers for game five, then it's a whole different story. And I'd say this team is about 2-3, but I don't think, I look at it more as the first four games, they have to go 2-2 and no less if they want to have a successful season. We're not giving regular season predictions or anything like that, but the first five, I feel, is a little bit tricky.
You are correct, Lindsay. The first five, It is tricky. And there's a huge question mark, that Green Bay game, whether or not Aaron Rodgers will be a Green Bay Packer. So it's hard because this is going to surprise a lot of people. I can see the Bengals going 4-1 in their first five games. I can definitely see it. And I would not be like totally shocked. You know, you have a Minnesota Vikings team, you know, they're a fringe playoff contender, but I don't think that they are a very good team by any means. Chicago Bears, is Andy Dalton going to start or is it going to be Justin Fields? Do they have, is their offensive skill position group better? Are they more developed? We know the Bears typically have a good defense, but that's a winnable game for the Bengals, even though it is in Chicago. It's a very winnable game. Now, historically, we know the Bengals have had trouble against Pittsburgh. They did beat them once last year, but historically, the Steelers give the Bengals fits. We know that. However, it's apparent that the Steelers are, their arrow is trending down and their window of opportunity is closing dramatically as Ben Roethlisberger ages. And they've lost several good offensive linemen. They've lost some players in the defensive side of the football as well. So the Pittsburgh Steelers, I expect them to take a couple steps back in 2021. And then you have the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Bengals have played them pretty good the last two seasons, and they are in full-blown rebuild mode. Yes, they do have Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer as a coach too. But the Bengals, overall, their roster is more talented than the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then, as Lindsay alluded to, the Green Bay Packers, that's a huge question mark. If they have Aaron Rodgers, then they're going to win that game. If they don't have Aaron Rodgers, then the Bengals have a very good chance of beating the Green Bay Packers. So there's the realistic scenario where the Bengals could be 4-1 after week five. Do I see that happening? Probably not. I can see the Bengals even going 3-2, and I would deem that a success after 5 weeks. Anything above 500 would be a success for the Bengals after 5 weeks. If they go 2-3, that's a failure. If they go 1-4, obviously that's a failure. If they go 0-5, I don't even need to say anything. We already know what that is. So anything above 500 after the five-week mark would be a success for the Bengals. I can see them going 4-1, but that is the higher end of the spectrum. Realistically, I think 3-2 is more realistic, or even 2-3.
The Bengals just have to win. And with the third year of this coaching staff having not been a competitive enough team in what, 4, 5, 6 years now, it's just a season where the Bengals have to win. And you can chalk it up by part of the season any way you want, but ultimately how they're going to be judged is where they're at the end of the year. And each game is important, but if the Bengals aren't above 500 or right around 500, that's going to be a disappointing season overall. So having these, I guess, easier games early at the start of the season, sure, put some weight on them, because at the end, obviously, we're going to judge how well the Bengals are and where the record's at the end of the year.
Yeah, it doesn't get easier for them. And that game five, that's what I have circled right now. But the first four, they can't go worse than 2-2. All of that to be determined what the Bengals are going to do. Training camp right around the corner. We will have more updates coming your way. And we have plenty of content online at Cincinnati.com. And I know you guys are busy doing a little baseball, doing a little Olympics. What else is up there?
So aside from my all my Olympic content, I do have a Bengals story coming up about how the Bengals are going to emphasize the run game during training camp. And that story will be up, should be up today or tomorrow. So keep it locked on Cincinnati.com and I'll have that story. And if you want to follow my Olympic coverage, go to USAtoday.com and you'll see all my articles on various Olympic athletes, mainly track and field.
And we mentioned him early on this podcast, but I've kind of a deep dive into Deonte Smith, what his career at ECU was like, what are realistic expectations for him for 2021, and whether the rookie can take on the important role of being the Bengals' first tackle off the bench.
Head to Cincinnati.com for all your Bengals coverage, E&Q Sports, over on Instagram, E&Q Bengals, and on Twitter. Thank you for listening to the Bengals Beat Podcast.